Hello again. Good to be with you another time. Today we're going to see what more we can learn about Moses from Exodus and from other parts of the scripture as well. We could talk for a long time about the life of Moses, but let me encourage you to read the book of Exodus, the whole book in one sitting if you possibly can. It's an amazing story, one that thrills me every time I read it. But let's look further at some things that really impressed me about the life of Moses. In Hebrews 24, it says that it was by faith that Moses' parents put him in a basket in the Nile. It was by faith that Moses did this and something else. And when you think about it, Moses' whole life was a life of faith. Yes, Moses was a man of great faith. Looking at his exploits, our difficulties pale into comparison. How would we go facing Pharaoh as he did? Then eventually leading 2 million people at night through the Red Sea, probably around 1491 BC, putting up with their complaints, finding food and water for them, plus some more. Yes, he had been in the Sinai area before, while he cared for his father's sheep. And he knew it well. That was where he encountered the burning bush. God even told him then that he would bring him back to this place. And that must have seemed a totally impossible thought to Moses then. Have you ever felt that God gave you something impossible to do? If he told you to go somewhere, oh no, God, that's impossible. Think about times when that has crossed your mind. Maybe you did do it, and maybe you didn't. So what we read about Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 makes him very worthy to be included in those verses in the Great Hall of Faith. The Old Testament is filled with good examples of true and godly faith. That faith was not blind, but instead it was based on their knowledge of God. Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 2 tells us this about faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So, how does faith like that speak to us today? The more we come to know God, the more we trust him, and the more our faith grows. That kind of faith should lead us for ourselves to obedient, trusting, forward-looking faith, even when we do not see all the details. And in our hard times, like we read about in Moses of Hebrews 11, we need to keep in mind the future reward for trusting God. True godly faith is defined as trust, relying on God when looking to the future, and obeying now, even when we don't fully understand all the detail. The great figures of the Old Testament, such as Abraham, Moses, David, and many others, all lived according to this kind of faith. In the end, it meant trusting God's purposes to make good on his promises. But more than that, they were his eternal promises, seen in his eternal perspective. God's purposes to make good on his promises are always seen in the light of eternity. They aren't just for now. They have eternal consequences. But how we apply them also has eternal consequences. The faith shown by these Old Testament people was enormous. They encountered huge struggles. Life for them was tough. But their example should inspire us towards a more confident, purposeful faith in our own life. Moses deliberately looked away from the treasures in Egypt. He walked through the tough and the struggles and fixed his eye on his heavenly reward. I'm absolutely certain that the Egyptians would have thought him crazy. They would have seen living with the Israelites a disgrace after all the opportunities Moses had to rest and relax as a prince of Egypt. He would have wanted for nothing. But Moses saw it differently. Better to work for God and suffer in doing it than to work for man and live in pleasure with no hope for the future. That's another trait that kept Moses on track. Work for God and perhaps suffer in doing it rather than work for man and live in pleasure with no hope. Here we find a deeper understanding of Hebrews 11:26. Faith refuses to identify with the world, no matter what the world offers. Never be ashamed of belonging to Christ and his church. Gladly and proudly wear the name Christian. Faith chooses to identify with Christ and his people, no matter what the consequences might be. In the final analysis, faith means trusting God's purposes to make good on his promises from his eternal perspective. Considering the struggles they faced, the faith of Moses and others like him should inspire us towards a stronger, purposeful faith than we often find in ourselves today. The second thing that impresses me about Moses is that he was a great mediator. Exodus 32 records for us the terrible incident with the golden calf, as a result of which Moses smashed the tablets on which God himself, with his own finger, had written the law. In his absence on the mountain when God gave Moses the law, the people, led by Aaron, of all people, worshipped and danced around the golden calf they had made out of their gold. No doubt the gold the Egyptians had given them under God's hand. Moses was more than angry. I can imagine his reaction. Have you ever been so righteously angry that you later did something that you regretted? We need to watch our reactions. I read recently that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Notice that Exodus 32:30 gives us what Moses said the very next day. The next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a terrible sin, but I will go back to the Lord on the mountain. Perhaps I will be able to obtain forgiveness for your sin." So Moses returned to the Lord and he said, "Oh, what a terrible sin these people have committed. They have made gods of gold for themselves. But now, Lord, if you will only forgive their sin." And then I think he paused. And he went on. "But if not, erase my name from the record you have written." What a prayer. Have I or you ever even thought of praying like that? To ask God to blot your name out of the book of life in return for the forgiveness of the sin of another. But despite this completely selfless offer from Moses, what did God say? In verse 33, the Lord replied to Moses, "No, I will erase the name of everyone who has sinned against me. Now you go, lead the people to the place I told you about. Look, my angel will lead the way before you. And when I come to call the people to account, I will certainly hold them responsible for their sin." That day, God put off his reaction to their sin. And on another occasion, we read of a second intercession from Moses. Have a look at chapter 33, verses 12 to 16. One day, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably upon you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Remember, Lord, this nation is your very own people." And God's gracious reply says this: "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses started objecting, like he did before. "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And again, God said, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." And as if Moses was just making sure that God would keep his part of the bargain, he responded like this: "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, come and stand beside me here on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you there with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." What a conversation between God and Moses. What a compassion, caring, and loving God he shows himself to be. I would have thought at that time God encouraged and blessed Moses afresh. Moses carried a great responsibility, but along with that responsibility, God gave him the great privilege of personal conversation with him. What experiences have you had that after a time of deep prayer, God actually revealed himself to you? How has it changed you? And now we find a third intercession in chapter 34, verses 1 to 4. And it comes down to these few words. Oh Lord, please travel with us. Then the Lord told Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. Be ready in the morning to climb up Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on top of the mountain. No one else may come with you. In fact, no one is to appear anywhere on the mountain. Do not even let the flocks or herds graze near the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two tablets of stone like the first ones. Early in the morning, he climbed Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Did you notice the detail? God said, chisel out two stone tablets. Come and see me in the morning. Moses had his part to do to rectify the past. It's like that with us sometimes. God grants us the privilege of working with him to accomplish his purposes, even when they don't work the first time because of some sin. This is such a blessing. Do you know it? And then I suspect Moses got a big surprise. The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to a thousand generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and their grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. How would you react if God met you on a mountain, came and stood beside you, and then to hear him speak with you like that? Here, God was showing the truth of I am who I am. As we said earlier, I am is the ultimate statement of self-sufficiency, self-existence, and immediate presence. When God identified himself as I am who I am, he stated that no matter when or where, he is there, appropriate to the situation. And this time, God is revealing more of himself, slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness, lavishing unfailing love, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. but still calling the guilty accountable. Breathtaking, hey? How good is God to reveal himself to Moses like this? Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and he worshipped. And he said, O Lord, if it is true that I have found favor with you, then please travel with us. Yes, this is a stubborn and rebellious people, but please forgive our iniquity and our sin. Claim us as your own special possession. Notice the request that Moses made. He acknowledged that the people were sinful, but he asked God, claim us as your own special possession. Please travel with us. Does it occur to you that because of Calvary and because Jesus constantly intercedes for us, there are times when we need to pray the same prayer? Lord, I am sinful, but you have claimed me as your own special possession and adopted me into your family. Please, through your Holy Spirit, travel with me. The Lord replied, listen, I'm making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord, the awesome power that I will display for you. But listen to everything I command you today. Then I will go ahead of you and drive out the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. From this point in history, we know that God fulfilled his eternal promises. What a great man Moses was. He had such a heart for his people. He reminded God of his promises, and he knew God well enough to say that it would not be for the glory of the Lord for him to punish them for their sins and then not travel with them. I just love this characteristic so evident in the life of a great man. I find the prayers of Moses on behalf of his people, especially those in Exodus 32, are reflected in the words of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Hear what it says. If any of you should see his brother committing a sin, I don't mean deliberately turning his back on God and embracing evil. He should pray to God for him and secure fresh life for the sinner. Let me read that again. If any of you should see his brother committing a sin, he should pray to God for him and secure fresh life for the sinner. Amazing. All because of our prayer. Moses was certainly a humble man, and he has left us a great inheritance. We must listen to him. Dr. John Maxwell is a well-known preacher today. Hear what he says in this little piece. In December 1998, I had a serious heart attack. That night, as I lay on the floor waiting for an ambulance, I remember thinking two things. First, I was just too young to die. Second, I had not completed some of the things I wanted to accomplish. One of the most beneficial things about my heart attack was that it motivated me to ask myself, what will my legacy be? A legacy is something we leave behind to the next generation. It could be possessions that we place in the hands of other people. It could be principles that we live that carry on beyond our lives. And it also can be people we have influenced whose lives are better as a result of knowing us. Always remember this. You will leave a legacy. A good man or woman can leave a legacy that blesses the next generations. So focus on being godly and doing good. And ask yourself regularly, how do I want to be remembered by my loved ones? Will I intercede for them with God, despite their rebellion and sin, and how I feel about that? When my time here runs out, will I continue to influence others for good and for God? Godly faith definitely has eternal consequences. As Moses demonstrates for us, we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for us, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Draw from it. Pray it for yourself and for those who come after you as your children in faith. Moses left us a great legacy, a great inheritance. What are you going to do with it? Let us pray. Our Father, we are awed at this great man, Moses, his character, his actions, his reactions, and his relationship with you. Teach us, Lord, to model our faith on him. Remind us of the inheritance he has left us and what John has told us later on, that our prayer can have a great effect on those for whom we pray, even to having a fresh new life, because you have answered our prayer by speaking and acting with your Holy Spirit in the lives of those for whom we pray. Lord, travel with us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Let people see that we are different because you are our God, just as you were the God of Moses. And we pray, praise you for this great man. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing in there's no